Blog Talk Radio.
Going to the Bulls, that work out? You think it was a good move for him?
What's going on with COVID? Nobody wanted to go to LA. Nobody's staying in LA.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Put in, huh?
They built their bed. They made their bed. Now they got to land it. They're laying it. You know, it's just a pass. The people start wanting to come to LA again. Everybody want to go to LA. They just don't want to go to the lake.
Yeah.
They'll go to the Clippers.
Well, maybe not right now.
Well, yeah, maybe not right now. I think they'll be more inclined to go to the Clippers. I think maybe not, you know, if they can get your boy out of their head. Simply because they have a better...
Yeah, they got
a bigger upside.
Right,
they,
a
yeah.
better upside.
Yeah,
that's right. The infrastructure.
Yeah,
then you
got Doc there as the coach, so, I mean.
But as far as Gasol.
Yeah.
I think it's a good move. I think he has a better chance of winning than Chicago than he did.
Yeah, I agree.
And
he got a max contract. So, I mean, he gets good money.
Yeah,
he's been in L.A. for, what, the last 6-7 years, and the whole time he's always doing the free agency. We're going to trade Gasol. Gasol is going to be traded. Talk from Gasol. You get sick of that.
Yeah.
Man probably wanted to go somewhere where he was guaranteed. Somebody wanted him, showed him they wanted him. And he has a chance to win. You put him and Joakim Noah?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Rose, a healthy Rose back in there?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to
say.
They got
happy.
That's a good move.
That's a good move for Gasol. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
focus on what he does.
Yeah.
In L.A., I think if he would have stayed in L.A., he just would have just waiting for it to be over.
That's
pretty
it.
Much.
And he probably would have diminished his stock.
Right.
Because as time goes, COVID's going to be COVID out there, of course. We know that. But that's all they got right now. Everybody know that. Everybody waiting on COVID to leave.
And that messed up. Look,
that's messed up. But that's how it's set up now. That's how that whole dynamic's up.
Hey.
But are you – okay. In looking at Chicago, you say – Augustal, Joakim Noah, healthy Rose.
Who else? They got what's that young boy? Young dude. Young man.
Either way, where I was going is you got two big men that can clear the lane.
Yeah.
You can spread the floor now with your big man. Rose got number paint.
Eldridge.
Who?
Then they got Eldridge.
I can't think of his first name, but
he's a beast on the block.
But does this get, now do they have a true center? I mean, Joakim Noah plays center.
Well, you gonna, they probably going to play Gasol that center.
Yeah, I would.
If you play Noah.
Right.
Now, Noah can go bang and get rebounds for real.
Yeah.
See, you open like Corbin, you open up that middle for Gasol to do his thing.
That's
Gasol can kill you 18, 12 foot.
That's a nice dynamic they added to that team right there. I like that move.
I mean, they still in a good position, even though they probably didn't get what they thought they would.
I'll put it this way. Right now, looking at them, they might have the best chance to come out of the league. Well, second best.
Yeah, I ain't going to come in on it yet.
Second best.
I ain't going to come in on it yet. But I feel you, they look good. They look real good.
On paper, everything is promised.
Yeah. Next topic. Carmelo Anthony. Finalized the deal to stay with the Knicks. He reportedly will be signing a 5-year deal worth $122 million. $9 to $10 million less than max, but $25 million more than any other suits. Think Carmelo made a good choice?
Depends on what we're talking about. Good choice as far as business move or
personally
or
all around.
Business move, looks like he won. He has the potential to win. As far as winning, the best opportunity to win the championship, I don't know if it's in New York.
You got Phil Jackson.
I don't know.
Is Phil Jackson going to be on the court?
Hey, you hear me?
He was never on the court.
Yeah, but he had.
He was never on the court.
But he
always. He put them together, though, bro.
Okay, so
let me ask you this, then. This is what I think.
He had players where he didn't have to be on the court.
No, but let me ask you this. If you had the opportunity to play with Phil, who you know can put it together, who has the most championships of any coach in the league ever, or would you go somewhere else Well, the upside on paper, as we just said, looks great. But the leadership is not guaranteed like you have in New York.
Listen.
All you got to wait is a year, and you get a whole bunch of money.
Let me you answer this question. Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Do you think his leadership is what won the championship somebody?
I think he plays a role, but I'm not going to give him all the credit, no.
I would say no. Simply because it was a point where they did not respect him as a coach, but they still won games.
Because they had.
Exactly. No. Yeah, yeah.
So we discrediting Phil Jackson?
I'm not discrediting Phil Jackson at all.
But putting the two side by side, good coaching versus great talent.
So you would be more lenient to go towards less money and talent, being good coaching and more money and being home.
Wait, are we still talking about Carmelo?
Yeah. But it does kind of lead to the other one too, though.
I'm saying it was a good move. Personal business move. It was a good move.
You don't think it was a personal move? I mean, like on the winning.
But on the winning side.
So you saying basically competitively it was a bad move?
I'm not saying it's a bad move. I think he could have made if he had made another decision, I would have understood it. If he would have made a decision to go somewhere else where he had some other superstars around him, maybe not the leadership that he's gonna get in New York. Maybe not the money, the fact that I'm leaving home, but I want to win. I would have understood.
I get it. But you know what I think really matters the most? I think if we change this whole scenario and you take Phil Jackson out of signing with New York, Carmelo is out of it. I think that's what kept him.
I can see that, though. I can see that. But basically, I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, he got a good coach. Yeah, he got money. Yeah, he's staying home. But they not going to win anytime soon.
No, I didn't think that's what he had to accept.
He had to accept that.
Right.
They're not going to win anytime,
yeah.
Right? We still are rebuilding. We still missing pieces.
Carmelo is a what?
Three.
Phil has had success with Michael Jordan, who was a what?
Two.
Kobe Bryant, who was a what?
Two.
So you can't. In my mind, the way I'm looking at this, Phil ain't gonna have the same success that he had with the last two. He's not going to be.
You can the triangle is ran on one person, not one position.
So you're gonna run the triangle off of Carmelo?
If anybody can figure out how to run the triangle off of the three positions, it's only Phil Jackson. And we're sitting here questioning Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson probably already know exactly how he's going to run that offense.
He had to know something kept Carmelo down, and I'm banking it on Phil, and it had to be. He said, this was like a week ago, he was like, I'm confident Carmelo would sign back with us. We had a good talk. Everything seemed fine, and we'll just let things take its course. He knew then he had told him, that's confident. Now, Carmelo could have sat there and said to him, I'm still making my mind. Whatever Carmelo thought when he left there, he knew what he told Carmelo had won. That's the kind of person that Phil Jackson is.
Yeah, that's great dealing with people. That's why he's a great coach dealing with people. He just happened to have two of the best to ever play it in his coaching career, which led to him winning as many titles.
So you don't think Carmelo think he could be good as Kobe or Jordan? You don't think you don't think Carmelo thinks that if he gets the right situation, he can be as good as Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant?
Carmelo might think that.
That's all that matters. And Phil believes that, and he told him that. I'm staying.
I don't think that's all that matters, though, just because he, but, I mean,
yeah.
He'll be great.
For him to play, and for him to play with confidence, all that matters is what he thinks.
I get it, though.
I get it, totally. You might have to let it go, though. Hey, 5 years, they're going to be contented.
How many years?
5 years.
5 years
would
be in the same scenario again.
I said, Phil. I I said Phil would have them contenders.
Okay.
I was arguing Carmelo's point just because I understand why you could stay.
So
I get it.
Let me ask you this question bluntly. Do you think the Knicks will win the championship in the next 5 years?
No.
Then it's irrelevant. All of that we're discussing right now, if we can't say
well,
that.
Well, when could he win? He had to follow LeBron because I don't think nobody going to win a championship guaranteed with me saying undisputed you can win if LeBron ain't on your team.
Really?
Really.
You do know San Antonio coming back next year.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
The worst thing San Antonio could have did was beat him.
So you're saying that this is a turning point
yes.
for LeBron James?
We have going home. Oh, this is a turning
okay,
point.
So let's go ahead and go ahead
and get into it.
Go ahead.
LeBron James returns to Cleveland. Quote, in Northeast Ohio, nothing is given. Everything is earned. You work for what you have. I'm ready to accept the challenge. I'm coming home. End quote, LeBron James. The man went home. He decided to leave Miami. Feedback has been received. LeBron James has received some criticism for returning to play for Cleveland Cavaliers. Owner Dan Gilbert. But the overall decision has been accepted well by the NBA fans and fond followers of the offseason free agents and tirade. In reaction to James' departure, the Heat offered Chris Bosh a max deal worth $118 million over 5 years, and he has signed to return. I'm going to end the last quote because it'll close out in the note because it's on a good spirit, but we can go ahead and go into the bar.
Let me say this before we go in. I know we're going to go in. But let me say this. I want to get this out in the air right now. A true Miami Heat fan is not going to be mad with LeBron James. I consider myself to be a true Heat fan. And I am not upset with LeBron James. LeBron, you did what was best for you. You went home. If you didn't stay in Miami, I really didn't see him going anywhere. Any other move didn't make sense to me other than going back to Cleveland. If you're going to rebuild in Miami, why not go home and rebuild? Okay? I think they have a best chance of winning the championship, let's say in the next 5 years, but I don't think they're going to win it next year. I don't think they're going to win it the
you
year after that. No, I don't. I don't.
You know what makes me mindful of that? I said the same thing when they put the big three together in Miami. And we haven't seen them outside of the championship. About LeBron. He's never really been out of a finals.
Yeah, but even with that,
they
ended the first year he was in Miami.
That's true, too, but I'm saying that gives him a great chance. So
I got you.
Being runner-up.
I feel you.
This conversation is proving the point that I made and continue to make every time this man named. And that is simply this. In my opinion, it does not matter where he chooses to play. He is a contender, and he has the best opportunity once he understands and accepts that. Period. Who can stop him? Name me one person that can stop LeBron James.
If we're not
outside of
LeBron James.
LeBron James. And I think maybe this whole if I wish LeBron got anything out of this whole situation, I hope he realizes that.
If he does, Cleveland will win
that,
next year.
That I didn't have to leave Cleveland in the first place. Going to Miami with superstars made no difference. So now I'm going to go back home and show the world that I am the best player on the planet.
On that point alone, think about how big that statement is, because that's what he said. He wrote an essay, handwritten himself, and submitted it to Sports Illustrated. I'm pretty sure it was orchestrated that he was going to do it before or how he wanted to do it. But he wrote that. And in the end, he said, basically, my biggest mistake, I made mistakes. The reason he's saying he forgave Gilbert is because his mistake was the way he did it in the first place. Mm-hmm. It was a reaction to what he did. And he understands now by going to Miami, he did what they planned on doing when they sat down and had their conversation. Him, Bosh, and Wade. They was going to win championships. They won.
They did it.
He gave them 4 years. He never said he was going to Miami to stay. He just said, I'm taking my talent from Miami. The man deserves to go home. We all do. I remember a time, and this is what resonated in me when I was looking at him. Because it surprised me. I thought he was going to stay in Miami. But I respect the fact that he went home. I left for a phone. And I said I was never going back. And there was no need for me to go back to Roboni because Roboni didn't give me nothing. Roboni wasn't doing nothing for me at the time. Same thing LeBron was undergoing. They weren't helping me. It didn't seem like nobody was helping. As soon as I got where I thought I wanted to be, guess what the first place I met?
Oh.
Roboni.
Ain't no place like it.
Ain't no place like home, dude. And why not? Why not? I mean, he took all the criticism going there. I'd eat it to go home.
As long as home accepts me.
And they did.
And they did. They are.
They sold out.
They did.
Tickets.
They did. But that's that love hate dynamic.
It's gonna be.
And there was never no hate. If
no.
I missed guy. Right.
That's what it was.
It was never hate.
It was hurt. Is what
that's
it was.
What it is, man. How you gonna leave us?
I was hurt. That's what it was. LeBron gonna have two different kind of people at him. All right. The ones that just don't like him regardless, and then those that can totally respect him for going back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
This man could have went anywhere he wanted to go. He chose to go home. I respect him for that.
Yeah. And that's the overall sentiments I got from everything I've seen on TV. People comment, even the people who was upset. At the end of the day, it was like, but you really can't be mad at going home.
Let me, you say you don't think Cleveland will win it next year or the year after.
I'm 3 years before they win the championship. They're going to win one.
I disagree with you simply because we're talking about a man who knows he's the best in the game. I could have gone anywhere. I have the opportunity of talking, of getting inside conversation with players and know what's going on with this, that, boom, boom, boom. I chose Cleveland.
And I said,
I didn't just choose Cleveland because it's home. I didn't just choose. I'm LeBron. I left Cleveland. I ain't choose Cleveland just because it's home. No, I owe Cleveland. They will win next year. If I'm right in what I'm saying and what I believe his mentality was, who was going to stop him?
Nobody couldn't stop him when he went his first year in Miami. Couldn't nobody stop him?
He didn't have it at all. He didn't have that in his mind. He did not believe.
He had what you need to have in order to win a championship. I don't give a damn who you
he
are.
He did have it, but he didn't
give a damn.
Just like Duncan, I mean, like you said about Carmelo, he believed he could be this, that. LeBron showed you he didn't believe that.
All right, I'm going to bring it up for you.
Let's go.
Michael Jordan believed prior to having any other people that he had around him when he won his first championship, prior to that, he believed that he could win a championship.
Michael Jordan's belief came from somebody telling him no. So the moment he got told no, he was determined to never be told no again. That's all it took.
No, what it took more than that. It took talent around him. It took talent around him. What's the talent around LeBron in Cleveland right now?
Okay.
Tim Bone's point and what scares me about LeBron still, even going to Cleveland with the mindset I think he has, because I think he's learned a lot. But he did say in his essay that he admitted that he know they won't win right away.
Okay.
For him to feel that way makes me feel, okay, that's not something you should do.
Y'all ain't answered my question yet. Who in the East is going to stop him from getting back?
No, it might not be nobody in the East that stops him from getting back there. But they're not
going to
beat the Spurs.
See, but that's the problem, Bo. You put him in Cleveland now, and he gets to go back and get revenge on. That's a clap.
Man.
You can't bet against him.
I can't wait to see the game. Because, like, it's going to be
always setting up.
It's going to be probably one of the best finals we see ever in history. But I will put my money in. No, I'm not, because I'm not a gambler. But I would put the Spurs over anybody.
Right now, this man has, if he hasn't before, has the best opportunity to solidify his legacy. Right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything that was done before is gone.
It's gone.
It don't even matter.
Don't matter.
Listen, he made this time, and this is where I'm going to show you how pop got. The mistake he made the first time was able to show the blessing in him going back home. Because not only does he show his growth, he showed Cleveland their growth. He showed the whole, not Cleveland, Ohio. He showed the whole state their growth. See how they treated him when he left? Look how they welcomed him back. That's love.
He knew going into the offseason he was going back.
He didn't do that. His wife, his children in the school last once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They knew that. He knew he was gone. You said you seen him in that last game. And you see, he was almost resentful of when he was in Cleveland.
The same way I saw him before he left Cleveland was the way I saw him in that final, that last game of the finals. I knew he was gone.
And if you think on that for a minute, and we do know just from history of LeBron, once his mind goes somewhere else,
he's done.
He can never. I think he came into this year knowing. I think he thought they'll just skate through the finals. It wasn't the same kind of team we seen last year.
Okay, so I'll pose this question. Do you think if they would have won the finals, he would have left anyway?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was gone.
I'm starting to lean towards that, too.
He was gone.
I'm starting to lean towards that, too. I think I believe that, too.
And he knew that's been killing him.
Yeah.
The last 4 years, that's been killing him. For him to come back the way he did and to accept Dan Gilbert with all the criticism he gets from that. Because at the end of the day, he was the first person to speak out against old boy out in L.A.
Stern.
You know, and that letter wasn't that great that Gilbert put out there towards him. But he was like, you know, I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. It's bigger than that. And that's the whole point.
From the whole decision and everything, he was never comfortable with any of it.
No.
You could see it. It was never a comfortable. It was just something I'm going to do. Now, you put him in understanding who he is and then being comfortable.
No
with
more
who he is.
No more all that on him.
Yeah.
No more.
None of that.
Maybe that's some of it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put myself in this situation. Although uncomfortable, I'm going to leave home, go to Miami in this situation.
I got
to
win.
I have to win over here. Once I win and get these championships out of the way, y'all can leave me alone about it now.
He had to think, give me 4 years, I'll at least get one.
And then they can leave me alone about it. I can go back to Cleveland. I ain't got all this pressure on me no more. And I can just play.
Yeah. And that's why
this is when you're going to see LeBron at his
yeah.
When I'm just playing. This is what got you to the league.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the NBA season.
Look at what it does for the league.
Yeah, I'm excited. It brings something back.
Cleveland is now a big market again.
Yeah.
You were a big market when he came out. You fell off. You back.
And Ohio is the blue collar capital of the world. Basically, that's where, you know, if you go look for blue collar workers and the real old school work force, and it's really, honestly, it's the deciding factor in the presidential elections, basically. So, I mean, think about what he's done for the economy, and that's his home.
So, let's go ahead and do this so before we close this out. You say how many years?
I say three.
You say three. How many you give?
One and a possible two. I think he can win next year.
Again, I'm going to say, if he comes out and he plays like he understands, he's going to get it next year. Now I want to say Cleveland will get it next year. I believe that.
I agree.
I think they're missing a few pieces. They'll be there in 3 years.
Offseason ain't over.
It's not.
If they get Kevin Love, it's
this is
a wrap. They get Kevin Love, and I think why wouldn't he go now? That's the thing, see, and this is the crazy thing: the power LeBron has. Nobody moved into LeBron move.
You couldn't,
right? Nobody moved until he moved. Then he decided to move. Now everybody wants to move where he
went. Didn't know if where he went, they was gonna have a major salary.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it, however you put it. So I ain't moving till he moves.
Yeah.
I can't sign for my money till I know where he goes.
What is it? Two years, 42.1 million. The first year, he can opt out next summer, but it's pretty much known that he's going to commit. This LeBron we're talking about. Would you even take that chance? See, what happens is next year, they make a bigger contract with the commercials or whatever, so they're going to get bigger money. So it expands the guaranteed contract the ability to expand it. So he's supposed to be able to get more money in that second year when they be able to...
So he'll opt out of the contract and resign.
Right. And it's supposed to be a longer contract. The reason he didn't sign a 5 year now is because in the next 2 years, you're right, it's going to be a bigger, opening for.
You asked me would I have taken that chance?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would have taken that chance. Yes.
I know we're talking about LeBron, but I want to throw this out there. Where does this put Dwayne Wade right now? What situation does this put Dwayne Wade in?
I don't think it has any bearing on Dwayne Wade. What's up? Dwayne Wade was in Dwayne Wade's situation regardless of what LeBron did.
Yeah. Nothing.
Had he stayed in Miami, Wade would have still had the same role next year.
They offered Bosh.
Yes.
The money.
Yeah.
That to me was like, wow.
I'm telling you, right.
For me.
Now, we haven't seen what they offer Wade, have we?
No, but if Bosh got a guarantee, I'm not sure they can get Wade guarantee. That guarantee, the max.
Hey, well, whatever it is.
Because remember they were saying LeBron was going to have to, if he stayed, structure his to be under the max for all three of them to fall in. But I'm glad you hit on Wade, because that's why I'm going to close out in nowhere. I think this was an excellent display of understanding, friendship, and also competitiveness by D-Wade. This was no word from D-Wade's future plans have been made yet. However, there are to be solid interest coming from the Bulls for Wade services. This was prior to them signing Gasol. I don't know if they're still out there, because they probably could sign Wade, because they wouldn't sign the guaranteed contract, I mean the max contract anyway, probably.
I could see it. He finished out his career, huh?
Yeah.
I could see it.
I don't think he'll leave Miami, though. His loyalty stays there. Because if he ever wanted to go to Chicago, he would have went the first time. Well, nobody.
Right now, I can see it more than that.
Because, you know, he talked them into coming to Miami with him. They all could have went to Chicago.
That was the talk.
Yeah.
The beginning.
It was Chicago, there, or Cleveland.
Let's be honest. You got a choice, Miami, Chicago. Chicago, Miami.
Home. LeBron had a choice.
This ain't my home. This is your home.
Right. But
we could play together. I make that decision. But I don't want to go to Chicago. I'd rather go to Miami. If I ain't from Chicago, what? Interest I got in Chicago.
You're saying not from Wade's standpoint, though, right?
From LeBron and Bosh.
Well, you're asking them to come to Cleveland. LeBron.
Right. That's why they didn't go.
So everybody agreed to go to Miami?
He was already there. Why everybody go
right.
to
Miami? Right, and that's why Wade was already in Miami.
Right.
So if he got everybody there, why would he up and leave? He had a chance to go home.
Because we got a choice, and if the choice is Miami and Chicago, it ain't really a choice. Not in my mind. I don't want to go to Chicago.
You saying Wade?
No, I'm saying the two that he's trying to
convince. No, I'm talking about Wade. I'm talking about Wade.
What I think that is saying is it doesn't matter once they decided to play together.
Right.
It really didn't matter where they went. They could have easily gone to Chicago if they wanted to.
They didn't want to.
Wade didn't want to. He's from Chicago.
Right.
That's my point. He decided
it didn't matter
to
Chris
Bosh
and LeBron, because I don't think it really mattered to them.
Okay, let's put it this way. I play for Miami. You play for Toronto. You play for Cleveland, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know we done sat down. We done had this conversation. I'm from Chicago, but I'm playing in Miami. Okay, we all agree. We're going to play together. We're going to go play together. We're going to put this together. We're going to get us a couple championships. Nah, we're going to play. Well, I don't really want to go to Cleveland. Like, none of us probably really want to go to Toronto. Chicago is an option. You know, I'm from there. This, that, and the third. Boom, boom, boom. This is my spiel because I'm from Chicago. I'm in Miami, but I'm from Chicago. If you and you say, well, I'd rather go to Miami. It don't matter whether I want to go back to Chicago or not. The
yes,
fact
it does.
That y'all two want to go to Miami.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does. And that's way home. That's what I'm saying. It was Wade's decision to stay in Miami. He didn't have to stay. He didn't have to play with them.
I get that. But if I say, if you two say you don't want to go to Chicago, but I say, okay, well, I want to go to Chicago, then we ain't playing together.
We might not be playing together.
That was the whole point, though. So why not just stay here? If, for the greater good, I'm already here. They going to come here.
I think at the end of the day, why Wade probably fell in the best spot because he was already in Miami. Miami was the right spot for them to go to at the time. It was popping, it was hot. It was interchangeable.
That don't change the fact that
they had the money.
Wanted to go, but it ain't the best situation for me right now.
For who? Wade?
Wade. I can see me wanting to go home, but look at where I'm at. Look at what's going on here. Now they saying they want to come here. This is probably a better situation for me. Now, I can't say whether he wanted to go or not, but I'm saying I would understand it if he wanted to go but chose to stay in Miami to do what they did.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
So now that that's over, why not go where I wanted to go in the beginning?
I get that. I wouldn't say a problem going to Scott. I wouldn't. I just feel like at this point, Miami fits him better because it might be too much expectation put on each Scott. Where in Miami, we expecting something, but if we don't get nothing,
Miami,
we won't be able.
We've accepted him for whatever it is right now.
He has to build a base in Chicago. Even though that's his home, he's gave his heart to Miami.
Exactly. He's giving us so much right now that we accept him in his decline. I'm going to be honest with you. I accept
you. You don't think Chicago would?
Mm-mm.
I don't know what Chicago would do. I'm not from Chicago. I don't really know what Chicago, how they would accept
him. He never
gave Because he's from there.
That's the whole thing. Now that I'm coming back to give you what I got, I think they'll be apt to accept it.
Chicago will accept any damn thing right now.
Now you understand what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't we?
I just hope with this, I guess when I posed the original question, I hope to see something in Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
I would hope that he would now, if he hadn't stepped up any other time before, if he hadn't stepped it back up and given his all any other time before, which I'm inclined to believe that he did, because I just, not knowing him personally, what I do know of him, I feel like he's going to give you all that he has. It may not be all, but he's going to give it.
Bigger than that. Bigger than Wade, bigger than Bosh, bigger than all that. I want to see Spoelstra. Now we will see what's supposed to, who you are and what you do.
Right.
Because now we're going to see what you do with the pieces. You take away and find a way to use him in his limited.
And see, and I think that's what we would say
didn't
about Phil
him?
Jackson, though.
Didn't he have him?
Yeah,
by himself?
He had Wade when he first came.
He wasn't the way that he is now. He was a way that could still play.
Well, that's why they offer Bosh all the money.
Right.
Yeah.
So now what I'm saying, like, you got a limited ability.
Yeah.
But see, and that's what I think I was saying about Phil Jackson is, okay, Phil was in Chicago. He had Jordan. He left Chicago. He went to L.A. He had Kobe. He went to Chicago now. I mean, New York. Yeah, Shaq. Now he's going to New York. He got
Carmelo.
It hasn't. He's never really been in a situation where he hasn't had
good
talent.
Right.
Not saying that Miami doesn't have any talent, but
they don't have a Carmelo.
They don't, obviously, they don't got a LeBron. They don't have a Michael Jordan. They don't have a Kobe Bryant.
So it's time to see what's going
on. Now we finna see.
We've never got
both.
We're going to
see both, really. We're going to see Phil.
Yeah.
And we're going to see Spoelstra.
Yeah. But Phil still has that upper hand. I would love to see Phil without Carmelo. Because he's still got a star player.
Yeah,
you're right.
I would have loved to see Carmelo left and really seen if Phil could have pulled that back together. Then that would have showed us his real, true genius if it is without an all-star player. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a good dynamic. Let me finish this up. In recent days, yesterday to be exact, Dwayne Wade stated, and I quote, "As a friend and a teammate, I'm sad to see my brother LeBron have to leave to begin a new journey. We shared something unique, and he will always be a part of my family. LeBron made the right decision for himself and his family because home is where your heart is. I know this was not an easy decision to make, and I support him in returning to his roots. As an organization, a community, and as individuals, we achieved the goals we set when we first signed on together. We are champions." End quote. That was a statement by Dwayne Wade on LeBron James leaving. I thought that was a great example of sportsmanship, man being a man and a friend.
Yeah.
I thought that was beautifully written.
And LeBron might have paved the way for him to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's finished his career in Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago. Chicago. I thought you were going to say Miami. But
no,
I
said Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. Because if you hear that,
Chicago.
Now that we had this conversation, you kind of hear that.
I think if he has the opportunity, he'll finish his career in Chicago. And who can blame him? Check this out, though. Doesn't LeBron get booed in Miami?
Mm-hmm. originally.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll die
out. It's going to be something, but I still say real fans, because first of all, the stadium, all the wagon jumpers are gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody that jumped on the wagon because LeBron was there or because of the big three or whatever, they are all gone now.
Not all of them.
No.
All of them ain't gone.
They gone. Gone. No, I want them to be gone. Be gone.
They gone.
Be gone. So I wouldn't be sad if the half the stadium was empty, because that tells me they jumped off of the Miami bandwagon and went and got season tickets from
Cleveland. That's why Cleveland's so
be
long.
Gone.
Hold on, I'm trying to get your bandwagon in him.
Let's do it.
Hey,
no, he's going to Cleveland. He's
already.
He was in Cleveland.
LeBron released.
That's fine.
You already know that.
That's what's up. In the know.
Yeah, man.
LeBron James.
I mean, it was a hot topic, man. It was a beautiful example of coming to the terms of yourself.
Yeah.
That's what it was on display on a great form compared to the decision last time where it came up more as arrogant and maybe just, you know,
selfish.
This time you see himself.
Yeah.
You see him really going to
I saw family. I saw love in that decision.
Yeah.
I was love in that decision.
He's grown.
He has. He has
4
grown.
Years later, like, he was still young then.
Yeah.
He's coming through. He almost 30.
Yeah, he's 29.
That's a big difference.
And you know, that shows growth in the ownership, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He has evolved.
Hey, man, we want to win.
Right?
I'm telling you, I never wanted to see you leave.
That's what hurt. That was hurt. That was
and I was hurt, and I said hurtful things, and I apologize. Sign the dotted line.
Please.
And we won't break it out.
Please. Yeah, man. So that closes up our end of note for today. We'll move into today's show. Today's title is the TOAB show, as we do. Boom. But we're going to do it a little different today. We're going to start this thing off with a cup of tea because we got a lot of interest on a certain subject matter. The other day on the social media site, on Facebook to be exact, on a question that T posed.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of questions from me. T, I'm going to let you take it from here.
Well, there ain't much to it. I posted a question or posed a question. What matters more, love or respect? And to be honest, I didn't think that anybody would respond.
Right.
Because the question, it's kind of like it's one of them catch-22s.
Yeah.
There is no right answer and there is no wrong answer. But there is an answer that can hurt you. So, where do we want to go with this?
You know what? This piqued my attention a lot, because we came to a point where, once again, love is being challenged.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset that I even have to entertain this, but I am. First, I'm gonna explain something. Love or respect. For a person to understand how to love. First, that's the only way for you to give me any kind of respect. A person has to understand how to love, period, to give respect. And I'm going to explain something to you. Now, I pose that to you because I'm going to explain something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Respect.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of respect is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something, elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. A particular aspect, point, or detail. Respect. Love. An intense feeling of deep affection. Love is the antithesis of all things. My definition. Now take this one. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4 through 7, verse. May the hearers and doers of God's word be blessed. Can you define to me how respect can even stand on the stage with love if I just gave you that definition?
Well, me personally, it can't. But that's because I've read that and I'm trying to understand that daily. For someone who does not refer to that definition of love,
mm-hmm.
and love is something totally different than that,
mm-hmm.
then respect can stand and possibly pass love.
Mm-hmm.
My question then becomes...
Don't change the question yet.
No.
I didn't call mine on the quote.
It's still on love,
okay.
And respect. For those people who don't refer to that blueprint for the definition of love, who say respect is more important than love, my question is, what does the respect mean if there's no love in it? What does that respect, how does that respect hold any value if love is not attached to it?
You posing me that question?
I'm just posing the question, but you can comment however you choose.
Right. Well, first of all, let me touch on the original. All
right.
My personal feeling, which mirrors that from what I saw, I guess, the majority of the comments from the question you posed on Facebook. Respect me. You gon' respect me. You don't have to love me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to love me. But you will respect me. Respect is earned. Love we tend to give freely. So if you're a loving person, you're gonna love everybody regardless. If you not necessarily a loving person, you can still respect me, and I can still respect you.
Wait, but you said something that I totally disagree with, and I saw this yesterday, and I was like, okay. You said you are going to respect me. How are you sure about that?
Because I understand the question.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand the question. But let's put it in a practical sense.
Okay, let's go.
All right.
The only way you can deal with respect, practically.
Practically.
You put it in a practical sense.
That's the problem.
I don't necessarily get along with my neighbor.
Right.
But I respect my neighbor.
That's you. Your neighbor don't have to respect you.
My neighbor is going to act as if my neighbor respects me. My neighbor is not going to do things to disrespect me.
What are you going to do if he does?
I'm going to have a problem with it.
That's your problem.
That's fine.
That ain't his problem.
That's a problem I feel like I can resolve as well.
How? Because I choose not to. That's my choice.
That's fine. That's your choice. But I'm going to explain to you how I feel like why I'm disrespected, and then I'm going to demand that I get that respect in return.
Check this out. I'm gonna help you and I'm gonna hurt you at the same time.
You can't say you're gonna help. You're gonna take your mind.
Okay. I ain't gonna help you then. Something as simple as passing by a person and not speaking is disrespectful.
To who?
Period.
No. That's your definition of respect.
It's disrespectful.
To who?
Jimmy, wait. Can I butt in right here just for a minute?
Go ahead.
We can give respect a definition, right? But can we really give love one?
You just did.
It explains it. It explains it, but could you explain to me love and be good with it when you walk away?
I can explain my definition of love.
Right.
And now I'm okay. And maybe now if you are saying that, you know, I have my own definition of respect,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't necessarily match the other person, but
love can't be denied. You know it when you see it. You know it. You cannot deny it. I can confuse respect for something else. You cannot confuse love. It's impossible.
I was in a state of mind in my younger days, where I had no love for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't show love. I didn't give love. If somebody tried to give me love, I ran from it. I had no respect for love. I had to learn to respect love and the benefits that you get from love in order to learn how to love.
How do you do that, though? You had to understand love.
I had to understand love. But I was already respect. I treat people with respect all day long.
Oh,
but
really,
things change for you once you started to you knew what respect was.
Yeah.
But everything changed once you started to understand love.
You know what happens? You know why it's hard? Because I sat down here about 3 in the morning myself and tried to figure it out. And I was trying to separate the two.
You can't.
And what happened was, we got in so hard to respect come first that you can't see love really making respect count. I can say I respect you. I said I respected a lot of things and didn't even respect my damn self. So how can I respect you? Until I learned to love myself, I learned how to respect and love others. That's the only way it happens. We say it, but your actions, because you respect me in my face, don't mean you respect me behind my back.
But then that's disrespect, though. That's not love. Love means you're going to love me regardless.
That's why it's more important.
For it?
So is that the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. That what's
love
more
or respect?
Yeah. What matters more, love or respect?
I still say respect. You're going to respect me. I'm going to earn your respect.
But you a man that knows what love can do. And you tell me you want respect over love?
Yeah, because the love will come.
I'm inclined to believe I can respect you all my life and never love you. But I can't love you all my life and never respect you.
No.
So that's the problem, man.
No, because I can love you and don't respect you. They don't.
That's what I'm saying,
Paul. I'm trying to come to the point where they don't necessarily have to coexist. You can love a person and not respect them. And you can respect
no,
a person.
Not.
You can respect a person and not love them.
But
I disagree.
You know what? He may have a point. And the point is that at the end of the day, love can stand by itself.
Yeah, he can.
And it can overcome all of them.
Listen, how can you separate the two? I didn't answer the question yesterday because we don't have this conversation,
mm-hmm.
but in my opinion, there is no differentiation. They are one in the same. Because to truly love somebody,
you have to respect them.
And if you truly respect somebody, then you have love.
Okay, so
you
I
can't
can
ask
that.
One without the other.
Let me change what I said. Let me change what I said.
The question was a rhetorical question, really,
right.
If you sit down to think about it, because you can't. What matters more? Well, you can't have one without the other.
So I can love a person. I can love a person. I may not respect the decisions
they
make.
Exactly.
But I can love and respect them without respecting the decisions
they
make.
Right.
Let me change that.
And that's mostly what the answer was coming back. I can respect what you do. Or I earn your respect. No. I'm talking about
real
respect.
Yeah.
Of you as a being.
Being, not...
Not what you do.
Superficial.
No.
Doing what you think I should.
Because if I respect what you do,
you know
the moment you stop doing it, I lose.
No love.
If I love what you do, the moment you stop doing it, I lose. But if I love you, it don't matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
If I respect you, it don't matter what you do.
No, because we sat here in the same studio in front of the same mic. And said that we didn't like what Sterling said, but we respected him for speaking his mind.
Mm-hmm. I never said I don't love Sterling, though. I love everybody. I know that's out of way, out of left field.
Hey, I didn't say I love him. I didn't say I didn't.
I have deep love for Sterling. I have more love for Sterling than I have probably for the people that get it, because he doesn't. Mm-hmm. My love has to be stronger for Sterling because he's a lost soul. It has to be. And that's not saying mine found, but it's just me seeing the destruction in the way he thinks. I have to have love for him, because if I don't, I'm going to hate him. And that's the only other option.
See, the way I look at that and the way I've been trying to get this is don't focus so much on the person. I love God enough to learn how to love you.
Yeah.
I respect myself enough
to not hate you.
Not to disrespect you.
Yeah.
That way, it ain't about you. You reap benefits, but it really, if you change tomorrow, you still gonna get the same thing from me. Because I'm looking at something else other than you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is for me with Sterling. Because if I was looking at the person,
I don't know you.
Is it the person's actions?
Yeah.
And then I don't know him. But his understanding draws my love into understanding that. Because that's all love is, understanding.
That's it.
Is understanding that he may not get it in the manner I get it. But that don't mean I should discontinue my love.
And whether he ever gets it or not ain't up to me.
No.
That has nothing to do with me whatsoever. That's not my business. He's another human being who is considered my brother, whether he know it or not. I know it, so I'm held accountable. Now, do I go out my way to try to, no, I just don't. If I see you, if I was to run up on Sterling right now, I speak to him and keep moving.
Yeah.
That's my level of love.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing bad to say to you about what you said, just that in the third boom. If you ask me to help you pull some out the car, I do.
Yeah, I want you. Well, the Lord, he, you know, they working on me still. Because I probably passed right by him, not said word to him, but I ain't going to say nothing bad to him. But I'm not going to acknowledge him. And so that's why I'm still being worked on.
But then you validate what he said.
What am I validating?
Everything, all his feelings towards you as a black man, uh-huh. You validate by stooping to his level.
How am I stooping to his level?
He's another human. I don't care what you
say. I don't speak to all humans, but I respect all humans.
That's I don't understand that. How can you walk past a person and not give them a hello? And then say, I respect them.
That because everybody wasn't raised that way. Everybody wasn't raised to speak to every person that you pass. This newer generation, they basically raised not to speak.
Well, we already know that everything is topsy-turvy right now.
But I'm not going to sit here and say that there are people in this new generation that don't respect other people. They respect other people. They just choose not to speak to them.
Okay, let me ask this question. Do you think it's impossible to respect someone else if you don't respect yourself?
Do I think it's possible to respect someone else if I don't respect myself? Probably not, because I don't know what the meaning of respect is or something. I don't understand respect or something. So probably no to answer that question.
You kind of confusing me. I'm asking you personally.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I have respect for self.
But
so I know what respect is.
Right. I'm not saying you don't.
And I can give respect to people, whether they give me respect back or love back. It don't matter.
I'm asking you from your personal opinion, is it possible for John to respect another person if John don't respect himself, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I have no opinion. Because I don't know what I don't know that feeling.
I can answer from a personal standpoint.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can answer from a personal standpoint. Because at one point in my life, I did respect myself. No, you think you do, but you don't know respect. Because if you don't have respect for yourself, how can I give something I don't know?
Exactly.
I don't have myself. I can't. No, I don't do that. No.
You can give it because your mama taught you respect. You chose not to give it because you didn't understand respect in yourself or whatever, you know.
Right.
But you knew what respect was.
No, you knew what his mama taught respect was.
But so he knew, you know, his mama ain't going to teach him no. And mama teach him how to be nasty to people.
Because your mama teach you what she thinks respect is, don't give me an understanding of respect.
It should.
No, it gives me your understanding.
It should.
That doesn't give me my understanding of respect. Because what you might say or what you may see is you may feel like it's okay to walk by and don't speak and still respect. I may come to the conclusion that, no, that's not respect. Why can't I say hello to this person? So that's my understanding versus her understanding. Yeah, she did what she thought what was best, and I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just saying that it's possible for when you're taught by somebody else, you get their understanding. You don't really understand until you come into your own.
And there's some good in it, too.
Yeah.
You say good, but I mean, I don't mean it structures your whole being, because out of all the things we take from our parents, we learn the rest on our own.
Yeah.
And it sometimes goes against what we've been told by our parents. So, I mean, I see what you're saying, Bo, but then I see what he's saying, which I always do.
Now, I came thinking that I was going to be in the middle of the road, that originally I said they equal. They don't necessarily have to go together,
mm-hmm.
but they're equal. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think one was more important than the other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Love and respect, what's more important, they're equal. Just within these how many minutes we've been talking, I have changed my mind, and I still personally feel that respect is more important than love. It takes a special person, special type of being, to be able to love everybody. We weren't there. We involved into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can sit here, and I know that you respected everybody growing up. You respected everybody growing up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did not respect everybody
yeah,
growing up.
You didn't act like you didn't. You weren't out showing your ass. You want to run around cussing people out. You want, no, I'm not being nice to the elderly. you still held it. You were holding the door open for an elderly person if they came in. So even without you having come to the conception of what respect was to you, you still could respect other people and treat other people with respect. You still did it because it was in you.
Well, I say I didn't respect everybody because I lied, I stole, I cheated, I did all those things to other people. And out of respect, you wouldn't do that because that's not yours to take. So why are you stealing? Whether it be gas, shoes, clothes, whatever, it ain't yours. You take it from somebody else. Why are you doing that? And you don't have that to do. So, no, I didn't respect everybody. I respect those that I felt had earned it or deserved it. But I didn't respect everybody. So that's why I say I disagree with you.
But you know what? And this is respect and love is so closely knit. And it's really hard to even get anywhere in this conversation.
Trying to separate.
Right, trying to separate.
I mean,
we get somewhere in the conversation, but you're going to run into the circle every time because both are not accurate points with respect. Because the truth of the matter is, yeah, that is true. But for me, I want love over respect because I know what love is capable of. You don't have to respect. I don't even really care because if you love me, I got it. I got everything else. For me, a long time, like I thought respect is what matters. So much so I didn't respect myself, getting lost in respect. But getting lost in love, all you do is love.
And respect happens automatically.
Yes, respect is good respect. All respect ain't the respect you want anyway.
Love. Some of it is
all the love you get, you don't necessarily.
Yeah, you do.
A man, every love I get, I want. Even when it hurts.
Okay.
Even when it hurts, I want it.
There's
no time I want love.
Although it may be a warped sense of love.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just put it to you like this. Man and woman in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
This man beat the hell out of this woman every day.
That ain't love.
That ain't love.
But he, in his mind, that's love. But he damn sure don't respect her. He damn sure don't respect her.
It's not love.
He damn sure he might swear, but not only reason why I'm beating your ass because I love you. That's a warped sense of a mindset to think that you would do harm to someone you love. But to him, in his crazy mind, he may think he love her. He knows good damn well he ain't respecting her.
Well, you beat your kids because you love her. Right?
There's no ill intent in that, though. I'm not abusing my children.
In his mind, there ain't no ill intent in that. He's doing the same thing you do.
But you know what I'm beating my kids for? I'm beating my kids because I'm trying to teach them respect.
He's doing the same thing.
That
don't make it right.
Respect.
Say what?
A lot of bad comes.
It's a lot of bad that can come from respect, but there's some bad that can come from love too. A person can love their race, and because of their love of their race, they cannot see with anybody in their race being with anybody of any other color. They cannot stand seeing their race being disrespected. They cannot take that at all because
they don't
love
their
race.
They don't love
that's the definition of a racist. They love their race.
No.
They have nothing but love for their race.
If you love your race, then you want everybody in your race to be happy.
Exactly.
And if them being happy means them being with somebody of another race, then I should accept that.
But then you're not a racist.
Then you're not a racist. No, what that means is a racist is not someone who loves their race. That's the definition is just wrong. Because you first have to understand love. If I love you, then I want you to be happy. If that means that you step outside of what I may think you should do or what I agree with or whatever, the fact that I love you, I'm able to accept your decision and it don't impact how I treat you.
Then that's a loving person. That's not a racist.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. The definition of racist is wrong. It's not to love their race.
Love shouldn't even be in race.
A racist is someone who hates another race.
No, a racist is someone that puts that... Their race is so important to them that any other race their race is superior to every other race. That's the definition of a racist. It doesn't necessarily mean that they dislike them. It's just that their feelings about their race is just so much stronger than they have nothing but pure hate or disregard for any other race.
I don't think you can put love in evaluation of another race, of another anything
yeah.
different than me. If I devalue it because it's different, ain't no love attached to that. That's not love. Love is simple. It is what it is. it becomes difficult because we try to grade that area. We try to make it fit what we want it to be.
We're not doing that with respect.
Absolutely. That's the problem with respect.
But then that's the same problem with love. That's what makes them equal.
I already said that you can't separate the two.
No, I didn't say that they were together. I said they're equal.
I said you can't separate the two.
They're separate.
You can't have one without the other. It's a good one. I prove it to you every time you present a situation to me.
You're not proving it to me.
You're proving it to yourself.
So then you're not proving anything to me. If you proved it to me, I would accept it.
You are absolutely correct.
See, the thing is, it's strictly, and I don't know if they're equal. I don't believe they're equal. I put love on higher tops because of what love has been to me. But I also know what hate and respect has caused me. And if I was to sit down and write out a list of the benefits, love would win against respect. The times I was given respect, I was respected for being drunk. I was loved when I was told to stop drinking. So for me, respect don't win. And that's my problem with respect. All respect ain't good respect, so I don't need it at all. But I need love. I need love, period. Bad or good, I need it. I need it every day, all day. But I don't need respect. I don't need good respect or bad respect. I don't need it at all, but I have to live with love. I cannot live without love. You can live with a person disrespecting you. You can.
Yeah, you can.
You can definitely live with a person disrespecting you. It's an ego thing. It's an ego thing. It's all ego. But you cannot live without a person loving you. And it hurts you so bad that you become to the point where you don't respect them and you don't respect yourself.
Homeboy, I disagree with you. Just one little small sense. Okay. All right. You didn't earn respect for being drunk. You were accepted because people around you loved you. They accepted that part of you because we accepted that part of you because we loved you.
We did.
They did not love you. They didn't love you, nor did they respect you. They just, that was you.
And in those moments, and this is my understanding of respect, and that's why I said I didn't respect myself, I was gaining their respect. So for me, it was a warped understanding of respect. The thing about love for me, though, is there's no warped understanding of love. Once you get love and understand love, it is what it is. It's no bad side. So when I put love up against respect, it's a bad side to respect. So I don't need it at all. We say all the time, why would we go against God to be rebutted? We know you got consequences, but there's no consequences with God. I'm not going over there to take consequences when I ain't got to take none at all.
Don't make sense.
It don't make sense to me. But I understand the respect thing because we was all raised in circles. And you was raised to make sure you was respected at all times and you give respect. But inside of that, we was never taught love.
And that's the way you gained respect.
So respect became more important. We say all the time, we didn't hear I love you. We just knew it. Why we knew it? Because that's what we thought love was. We didn't understand love until we got in our 30s. But we understood respect all our lives.
Can respect take you anywhere that love can?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
Can respect it? I would venture to believe respect can get too far. But I think it can never trump what love can get you. But you can survive. I can't sit here and say respect can't get you somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the end of the day, it's a lot harder to love. And the thing with love is, you will accept her. With respect, you won't accept her.
No.
So you ain't going to get too far, no.
Respect. I think the definition of it, or what we perceive it to be, is a problem with respect. It's not respect in itself. In and of itself, respect is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's just when we go too far to attain it.
Mm-hmm.
How far will you go to get respect? People kill for it.
It's tainted. It's tainted. Respect is tainted. And no matter how much you may try to attain love, you can't. And that's why I say every time I try to put someone against love, it just keeps falling back down. But I get it. I understand it because I was raised to you go get your respect. You go make sure they respect you and you respect them. But if they don't give you no respect, I even heard it this time. You don't respect them either. So how you going, but you can't tell me that by love. You can't tell me you love them, but they stop loving you, you stop loving. You wouldn't even say that to me. It makes no sense.
Yes, people do say it. Oh, yeah. You ain't got no love for me, I got no love for you.
No, no, no. I'm saying if you've been told to love someone, then you say if they don't love you, you stop loving. You know you can't tell nobody to stop loving.
It's all. I guess this is why I put them equally. Because it's all personal.
Yeah,
it's all
is.
Personal.
It is.
I have developed my own personal definition of love, and I cannot see myself not loving everybody.
Right.
Because I have developed that, you know, once right. I decide to love, and you know, I love self, love God, I love family, love everybody. But I don't necessarily respect, but that's my definition. I can respect everybody, whether they give me respect or not. I've grown to accept that because that's my definition. It's like, your definition is different.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say either one is higher than the other for me.
That's where I'm at. I've said it from the beginning, and I'm gonna stay with it. Like,
yeah, they
don't. For me, you don't separate them. They don't. They're not separated. True respect and true love go hand in hand.
Yeah, I would agree.
True. That's the difference for me. You threw true in the front of that.
That's the only way it is.
Respect,
I don't want the fate. If we talking about faith, love, or faith, respect, that don't even deserve a conversation.
Right, maybe not respect, but just true. Like people say, true devotion. You know what I'm saying? You are devoted, faithfully devoted to a particular thing.
That's commitment.
Let me ask you something. Do you think the misconception sometimes becomes the difference between true respect and just respect?
Yes, yes.
That's why we make respect a higher than
because
at the end of the day, I think, to me, respect is superficial. It's practical. Love is genuine. I can't make it up. I can't do it just in the moment because you come up and you wave, I wave. I can't do that. I can't love you just because I see you. I have to love genuine. So for me, respect loses ground right there. So if I say true respect is when you ain't paying attention, and I know what I'm finna do, long run, is out of offense. That's true respect. That doesn't mean you see me do anything. It means I respect you so much as a person, you don't even know I'm respecting you in the moment where you're not around. That's the kind of respect I want. If you're talking about superficial respect, that's just like you speaking to me. That don't mean nothing. At the end of the day, because you spoke to me, it's nice. I appreciate it. But does that change my day? Yes,
sure.
Maybe. Maybe. In some ways, it will. I get that. But I'm saying, does it change the outcome of my life and a whole overall? You respect me when I'm not around. Say, for instance, let's put one of my kids in place. The fact that they respect me, somebody come up to them and offer them some alcohol. In that moment, they might go back to, if I drink this and get in trouble, my dad got to come get me. And now he's embarrassed. I have no respect for my family. That's the respect I want. I don't want him to say yes, sir, to me and no, sir, just because you sit here and somebody hear it. That respect means nothing if he's not going to do it when he leaves from around me. That's true respect.
You know how he get that?
Love.
Only way.
Love. But that's the love for me. That's what I'm saying, though. But with that understanding, all the rest of that, he can play out and don't love me at all.
Yeah.
I can go get an orphan or someone from a foster home right now, and they'll come to my house and say yes, sir, and no, sir, because everybody else do. That does not mean they love me. That's respect, but it's not true respect.
I believe the respect that you get is a product of the love that you
give out. Yeah.
It has to start with you.
Yeah, a person has to understand love to give respect.
That's it.
If it's true. Now, I can give, like I said, once we set that dynamic that we say it's a difference between respect and true respect, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Because I can act out respect. Boom, pointed that out a lot. We did that growing up. It's time we still do it now. We understand love.
Because as soon as I see you, I'm going to hold that down.
Yeah.
I don't respect you when you ain't looking. But now I see you coming, I'm going to, okay, we'll do that right now. No, if I really care what you think, I'm going to do that anyway. Period.
But then it's respect for yourself. That has nothing to do with respect for a different another person.
If we rewind this conversation back 10 minutes, I said, true respect starts with you. Once you respect yourself, you don't have a problem respecting everybody else. That's the difficult part.
Yeah, because it's difficult because we get the buy of the practical respect. And we feel like we do it in your faith, so the fact that when you ain't around, I'm not respecting you, it's okay. But you're not respecting yourself, so now you have no respect for nobody. Absolutely nothing.
Using another scenario, something as simple as a fight. Now, we would think, we think naturally, I'm going to fight you to gain my respect.
Mm-hmm.
I got to fight you. I can't walk away from you because I'm going to lose respect.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. Not true. The fact that the fight is there, and I have enough respect for self and love for you to walk away from it, I've earned your respect whether you
understand
it or not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You don't have to understand that you now respect the fact that I didn't fight.
That's
when
true.
All science told me I shouldn't.
No,
it's bigger than that.
It's true.
It's true. Bigger than that.
But what you see, though, in this most of the like, disrespect and love thing, it goes up because they're hand in hand. And like you say, it comes to a personal, it comes down to a personal decision which one you choose, if you want to say one is more than the other, how you want to go about it. Like I said, y'all know me, I'm an avid lover of love, so I'm going with love, but that's what it is. I don't see a right or wrong answer, because if you get the true understanding of both, you got it, period.
You got both of them.
Yeah, you got it, period.
Now, the deciding factor for me was simply this. We all talk about God and say we love God, we respect God, this, that, the third, blah, blah, blah. His commandments are very simple. Love thee, and no other before me, love others. Because if you don't love them, you can't say you love them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now I'm about respecting people, he said, now I'm about this, he said, now I'm about two things. Love me, love them. So I'm inclined to believe that in doing that, everything else is taken care of. So love, that's why love, if not more important, is the basis of respect.
Get it, man. We kick that around for a while.
Yeah.
If you guys want to, we can move on.
It's cool.
Move on. TU, you have got yours out of the way. Bone, you want to go next, or you want to go? We can go on with the Bone Symmetry.
Yeah, because we kind of left off last week.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, we did, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah,
yeah.
Y'all want to jump right back in
there
socially,
Dad? No.
Yeah.
Get to a place where you wanted to get your second question in and
yeah,
couldn't
okay.
answer.
All right, well, let's get it in. I already forgot the question. Now, give me the question.
Okay, what was the question? What did we ask you?
What was it? Oh, man.
See, I got my question ready for Dad now. Let me go ahead and get the question in to Dad while you think about it. You're going to try to remember the question. Socially, Dad.
Lay it on me.
I kind of was, you know, I walked in the studio today on a tirade. You kind of, I kind of walked in on it. And it made me think of a question. And I thought this would fit our social segment here. And I wanted to ask you, as a society or socially, do you feel as if we have devalued the importance of parenthood?
Deep question. Glad
you got it.
All right. You know, the dynamic of this one, it's so hard because back to an individualistic kind of thing, almost. And we were raised this way, so there's a certain structure set up for us. But we probably were, I would venture to say, went to school with other individuals that was raised a different way. And the way we were raised, at the end of the day, it was different from there, but I'm struggling with this, but I got to say, I would venture to say those that was raised different than us probably achieved more at a certain point or went farther than us, even though in our understanding where we were raised was the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say that to say this, bro. Basically, can I say there's a right or devaluing this to parenthood when I really don't know the absolute truth of what a parent should be?
So then what you're saying is that there's no, it's hard to say there's a right or wrong way to parent,
right,
outside of just straight abusing your kids.
Right.
There's different ways
and everybody turns out differently.
Right.
Now, I will come in on this. In today's mainstream, we do see a little more abrupt, unorthodox ways of parenting that will lead to more negativity than when we were growing up. And it may have been there. We just never seen it. The things that are accepted now are different. So compared to, I answer the question from this standpoint, compared to the norm of how I was raised, which was different from other people who achieved more than me, but still in that stance, what I see today is devalued. Totally.
Can I throw this in there? I think it's impossible to say a right or a wrong way to parent because none of us are parenting the same child. What I mean is, what it takes for you to get through to yours,
mm-hmm,
may be totally different than what it takes me to get through to mine. The answer is in the results.
But should it be? Not in the results, but should it be difficult for me, or should it be different for me to gauge mine than you when we all have the same blueprint?
Yeah, because you may learn just by picking up a book and reading,
mm-hmm,
whereas I may learn by the teacher getting up and showing me examples.
Right.
So when your parent, all they got to do is tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Mine got to show me.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me all day, but it don't make sense to me until you show me what you're talking about.
So even with love, you have to find the avenues that fits best the job.
Right. And that comes in paying attention. Now, that's a universal. Put your child first. Pay attention to the product,
mm-hmm,
of what you're giving, and that'll determine whether you need to adjust what you're doing.
Do we see that today?
I can't answer that question. I can't answer that question for everybody because I'm not in that role. I'm not in that position.
I can't answer that question in the sense of what I see.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was going to go to.
And what I see nowadays that I have a problem with is, and it's mostly social media, all right? Social media has intertwined itself in our parenting.
Yeah.
Think about it. It really has. There are parents out there posting on Facebook, you know, their kids, their children cursing, treating their peers and sisters and brothers with disrespect. Posting on Facebook their kids fighting and all this type of stuff. It bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me. It bothers me to see what looks to be a 2 or 3 year old young man banging on his chest. Or I'm the man, like I'm the daddy.
Yeah.
Pants hanging off his. The boy wearing a diaper and he's got on sweatpants hanging down his butt, holding his bottle like it's a beer bottle, no shirt on, banging his chest. You're gonna give me my respect. That bothers me.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it totally. And that's why I say compared to where I was raised, it's devaluing that structure that I came up with. And the sad part about it is, like, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, when did this become cool?
When you saw it, when
somebody didn't say something,
it flashed across timelines and people liked it.
Yeah, instead of an hour day. And then, not saying that our day was perfect, because, we say all the time, there's certain things that we came up in, we would have done this. And our parents' style, we go about it different. But in our day, you weren't going to let, it was like a parenthood. They all looked out for each other. Yeah, it was like a clique. Really, you know what I'm saying? And you could be way across town. But you weren't going to do that, and I wasn't going to stand for it, and everybody knew it. So, you know, nobody camcorder. We've been talking about this bone camcorder. You put out a camcorder, we don't stop fighting. We finna fight both of us, fighting each other. Finna fight you for recording.
We're finna straighten up.
Yeah. I fight when you finish. Everybody stop fighting. We're gonna fight. You can turn around, we'll go back to fighting.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Why? Because you worried about your mama seeing that tape somehow, somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could be in a different state.
It didn't even have to be your mama. See, back to what you were saying, going across town, that adult that knew your mama, knew that your mama wasn't going to stand for that. So I ain't going to say, I'm going to tell your mama. No, I'm going to tell you.
You.
Yeah, that's true. I know you know better than doing this.
Doing that.
So I'm going to tell you. And then when I see your mama, I'm going to tell her.
And you knew that.
Yeah.
And then that could come back to the ultimate understanding of this is that the evaluation becomes in the parent styles because the parent's not communicating, it's not there anymore. That it that was there when we was growing up that everybody got and knew to the point where it was people standing on the block when we was growing up. I mean, that ain't nothing new. It ain't like saying this all came out of nowhere. But I bet you if so-and-so go by, they straight.
One thing about it, as a kid growing up, when I saw them on the block, they was just standing on the corner.
Yeah, exactly. All you knew, they were standing on the corner.
I don't know what they doing. I don't know what's going on. All I know is they standing on the corner, and it ain't a good thing to stand on the corner. I never understood why you shouldn't stand on the corner.
Maybe you get hit by the car. I don't know.
Exactly.
Right. I don't know.
All we heard was they up there on this corner.
Yeah.
So apparently standing on the corner,
standing on the corner is
not a good thing. You're not supposed to stand on the corner.
And that goes to the respect. Even though I'm on the corner, I ain't going to do what I'm doing on the corner when you pass by.
Now you don't get that.
No.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it was enforced, but we never knew where that invisible connection was because it was just there. It wasn't talked about, but you knew it. That is not there, and that was value.
No.
That was good stake in something that we've lost now, and that's why you see nobody don't care about nobody else, so they can't care about trying to build a parenthood.
I think that thing that you're talking about is a respect of self.
Yeah.
It ain't even got really... Once, okay, let's use you as an example because it was your question. You have enough respect for yourself that you understand your kids are a representation of you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to raise them how I want to be represented. When I don't have that respect for self, I can't respect you or nobody else's opinion of you or myself. So it's cute when you on the video at 5 years old twerking. It's cute when you're standing there cursing at another adult and I tell them they better not put their hands up. That's cute.
Because I do it.
So all you're doing is standing up for your rights. That's the twisted respect. Get your respect. They come to you and they respect you. You don't respect.
You misguided. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that thing, I believe that has been devalued or what has changed is respect for self.
I agree. I think that's what
you do on that.
And that would ultimately bring up the devaluation of
the whole
family structure.
The whole thing,
the
family structure.
Yeah.
Because the value of respecting yourself has been lost.
Everybody has a part to play in this family. And out of respect for myself, I'm going to play my part. You don't play your part, that's on you. And it's not me from playing my part. But now that nobody's playing a part,
you got nothing to do. That's where it's kind of going. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think my question stems from my own personal question and myself, looking at this younger generation, these young men and women making the decision to have these children out here, but not really understanding the importance of the job that they're taking on.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true.
It's more so it's not about the Jordans on their feet or the polo shirt on their back, you know what I'm saying, and how cute they are in the picture. You know what I'm saying? It's more to parenting than that.
Yeah, it's about the individual person.
You are taking on upon the responsibility of raising a person, raising a human being, instilling in them the proper things so that they are a respectful person within our community.
Yeah.
And have respect for themselves.
But for that to matter, again, parents got to respect themselves.
Yeah.
Because if they don't got that, we can talk to them blue in the face, but that does not matter because I don't respect me. That don't matter.
It's true.
Now, we were talking a little over here about, how do I say it, some of the quote-unquote risks we take in life to get things achieved. Maybe the Jordan or the whatever you're doing or you're doing with the means that you take risks to get, I put it that way. If you're going to take that risk, why not put your child in a position to where they don't have to take the same risk?
Right.
It's not for me to go spend $300 on your pair of shoes. I put them the same $300 on the account for you.
Right.
I'll let you use that to go buy you a $50 pair of shoes. You manage the rest. I'm going to teach you how to manage money. You can have things, but also be responsible with money. We tend to, I guess the only way to say it is live for a day. And then living for the day, I get it. I understand it. We say all the time that you can't get yesterday back and you're going to never see tomorrow. But at the end of the day, I guess we got to do that. Is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I want to know, we got a caller that looks like on the line. I'm going to try to get them in, see what they got to say.
Call, you know, comment, statement.
Hey, it is 2 up, 2 down. What's going on with you fellas? What's going on, bro? Hey, on that, first of all, I'm sorry I missed the first half of the show. Who won the contest? Was that a Team Respect or Team Love?
On even playing?
Say that again?
Like you want to come in?
You come in and
the decision?
I can't hear. We're breaking up. Say that one more time.
I said it was a tie. Are you trying to break up? How do you accept the tie?
Oh, I think Team Respect should have won. You know what I'm saying? I threw out some major blows last night, you know, but I'm just, you know, trying to see what the body count was. But, I mean,
yeah, I don't want to hear all that slick talk. What's your point? How is respect more important than love?
Oh, I never said it was more important. I just said it's the foundation for everything. Respect come in, you know what I'm saying, and it fosters that love. You know, respect will bring you to the point of love. If you
so
have
you're
no
saying
respect,
that
you have
respect
no love.
Is the foundation of love?
Yes, I believe that. Wholeheartedly.
Interesting. You should have been here these first 30 minutes. I can't go back over everything.
That was a dynamic you told
me. I'm with my family, man. I couldn't jump in it, you know what I'm saying, in the beginning. But at the same time, I ain't want to rehash it. I just want to know, you know, how bad did Team Respect beat up Team Love? That's what I was just curious on.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. They both standing on their point on love. I'm the only one in here talking about respect, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you. I started out saying respect was more important, but by the end of the conversation, I said they're equal. So,
hey, man, don't
it might be my
fault. I wish I had caught the beginning of the conversation. Y'all might have to rehash that on Wednesday, because I sure wish I would have caught the beginning of that conversation.
It definitely could. We could have went on for 2 hours about it, obviously. So, you know, we'll come back to it.
I promise you, if I was there, you know what I'm saying, Team Love would have knocked everybody out. But, I mean, Team Respect would have knocked Team Love out. No. I said that wrong.
The love
in
your heart told you
right now. That's not how that pops off. Y'all know that. But going to the topic y'all was talking about just right now about raising kids, Let me just ask y'all, you know, because I know most of you, I think all three of y'all have kids, so let me just ask y'all this. In regards to having kids now, I don't know, I can only speak on my homeboy Corey, you know what I'm saying, because I know him personally, but in regards to the two other brothers, y'all kids, when y'all had them, I don't know if y'all had them out of wedlock, I don't know if y'all had them early or what, but at the same time, does that, your mindset in which you are a young man, change now that you are an older man, you know what I'm saying? Because as a child, you know what I'm saying, you may not have been thinking, okay, you know, this is my first child. I want my child to have the better things in life than what I did. But yeah, I may go out here and buy them Jordans, you know, for my child being, you know, a newborn. But as a second time parent, when you find that you have your second child, you might be, you know what, them Jordans didn't get but a month's play, and I wasted $100 on a pair of Jordans for a baby. And now as I'm older, you know, you start to realize that those things that you did, you learn from your mistakes, you learn from the causes. So are y'all speaking from the point of saying as older men, or are y'all speaking from the – because, you know, nowadays it's nothing to see a child having a child. So what yeah. level are y'all speaking from?
Well, personally, I didn't have my daughter until I was 33. So for me, it was an overnight change for me, you know, because I was an older man. When my daughter was born, okay, there were certain things that I did that I just overnight stopped doing. So that's just speaking from my own standpoint.
For me, myself, I was the ripe age, 18, when I had my first child. So speaking from that understanding, yeah, he had the first Jordan. He had whatever I can find that I thought was in at the time for him to have. I got it for him. I seen it back then and like Bone said, he changed overnight. I didn't change overnight because I didn't have to. I wasn't in a position where I had to at that time, and I didn't realize the fact that, and I'm going to point this out, I was 18. I was 30 when I realized what it meant to be a father. So the truth of the matter is, it's not like I didn't get it overnight. I knew what I should be doing. I'm not saying I didn't do things I was supposed to. I did, but I wasn't there in the manner I should have been because I wasn't there for myself. So as a parent, at 30, when I finally got it for myself, I became a better parent for them. Now, the truth of the matter is, to that little mark, I'm still learning today. I never stop learning. I got four different kids, and it's four different dynamics. So it's a whole big different field than having one. And one is hard. My mama raised me by myself, so I know it's not easy with one because I change. So imagine four times one, that's 16 changes. Four times four, 16 changes. I got to deal with and be able to react and change on a day-to-day basis. So the one thing about parenting is the beautifulest joy in the world because you get to raise a child and you get to shape a life. It's the most precious thing you ever have. But at the end of the day, the best you can get out of it is giving your all into it. Because you can walk away from it no matter how it turns out. Because you understand life is life. I gave it all I had. So if you go into it that way, 18, 33, 45, as long as you go into it with an open heart and trying to get the understanding of what it takes, because nobody, honestly, the truth of the matter is nobody understands what it is to be a parent until they become a parent.
Exactly.
You can't tell me how to parent a child, get a child. You can talk all day. It ain't going to matter.
Well, like personally, you know, you was around, but I was 23. And I went from having no responsibility, and I have somewhere to sleep, which could be anywhere. I ain't even got to have an apartment. I can sleep where I want to. And I'm going to eat when I get there. To now have somebody who's gonna look at me for everything. So it was you again. You were there, and you saw firsthand. At least I guess you did. The transition.
Yeah.
But like Derek said, as far as a parent, nobody can get. There's no blueprint for that. Well, I won't say there's not a blueprint. There's no preparation for that. It's like. Husband. Nobody can teach you how to be that. Death. Nobody can teach you how to prepare for death for somebody that you love. there's certain things that you go through in life that you just have to go through and find your own way of dealing with, and that's just that. Parenting is one of them.
So what is your opinion on the question mark as far as, you know, has there been a devaluation of parenting?
I agree with that, with the statements that they're, you know, the what parents do nowadays, you know what I'm saying, is different from how we were raised and how things are going. I mean, like, even an example, I seen that Facebook, that video you was talking about where you were talking about the little boy was beating on his chest. I seen that video myself. And, you know, it comes from two different levels. You know, kids having kids, they gonna think that's cute. They, you know, they're looking at these rap videos. They're looking at everything that's going on in society today, and they're saying, yo, oh, that's great. But, you know, someone who came from the old school, and not saying that we old, but coming from the old school, seeing how our parents raised us, that was not acceptable. My parents had company, you know, immediately we went upstairs. When it was never a moment of, hey, I'm going to sit down here and listen to the conversation that my parents are having with their friends. It was never none of that. When, you know, when we wanted to come in the room and even ask for something to drink, you waited at the door till you were acknowledged, mm-hmm. and you said, excuse me, can I go get something to drink? You know, you didn't just do the things that kids today are doing. Now, I can't speak on how to raise a child because I'm still not a father. So in that regard, I can't speak on how to raise children or how to have children or what to do. But I can say that, you know, I'm speaking from the standpoint of saying, seeing kids today, seeing how I was raised, you know, you always feel like, as a child, you're like, man, when I grow up, man, I'm not going to do this to my kids. I'm going to do such and such and such and such. I'm going to raise my kids differently. But in the grand scheme of things, now that I am older, I do look at it like I appreciate the foundation that my parents built. I appreciate how they raised me because it made me a better person, made me a more grounded person. Speaking on, like, being on that corner, I was the same way. I didn't know what was going on in the corner. I just knew that I wasn't supposed to be there. So I do say I appreciate the way my parents raised me because I also learned that sometimes you don't have to step in the doo-doo to know the doo-doo stinks, but sometimes it is beneficial to step in it yourself because you always want to know.
I wanna say this real quick because we keep throwing this phrase out there, kids raising kids. The kids that doing the raising don't necessarily have an age cap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, adulthood doesn't start with an age.
That's a good point. Because the fact you made that point kind of validates what I was saying earlier. I was 18 when I became a parent in the practical sense. But I was 30 when I realized what it took to be an efficient parent. You know what I'm saying? So that makes a lot of sense. I was a kid for a long time, raising kids. And it showed.
And in some ways, we always will be. Mm. There are some parts of us that are just not going to grow up.
Yeah.
We can accept that, just deal with it. It's cool.
We'll say it.
Yeah, you're kidding me. I mean, but
no, when I say kids being kids, I speak in terms of saying, your priorities are not in the right place. I'm not saying the age number. I'm saying, like, I have some of my female friends who have kids, and they are quick to be like, I'm going to the club tonight, even though my child is sick. I'm still going to the club tonight. To me, that's a child's mindset. That's not a parent's mindset. A parent's mindset is saying, my son got a runny nose, and I'm not going nowhere because little John got a runny nose. But, you know what I'm saying, we ain't saying deathbed illness, but at the same time, if your child is not well enough for you to feel comfortable to go out for the night, that's what I'm talking about. That, I think that the monsters, the mishaps, those slight instances, that's a child raising a child. It's not about maturity of it, because your homeboy just said that when he had his child, he instantly grew up. So, you know what I'm saying, it's not an age number. I think it's just to me, it's the actions that dictate, you know, your sense of maturity, your sense of responsibility.
It's a mindset is what it is. It's a mindset. On that point you just made, Mark, you know what I'm saying, the child's sick, you know, but they still want to go to the club, and then they're going to call, you know, out of work the next morning. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? Oh, my child's sick. Well, he wasn't too sick. You went to the club last night, or you weren't too concerned about that. You know, but you gonna call out of work.
Because the child's sick.
Because the child's sick.
No, you ain't got a babysitter.
You know what I mean? So, hey, it's a mindset. You're right.
It's totally a mindset, but I'm going to point this out, Mark. And I ain't saying that you were trying to separate the two, but men do it too. I did. So it's just not because the father's not there. The father sometimes is there, and he the one calling in to work because the baby's sick and going to the club. Because I had the same mentality. I thought it was more important for me to go out and the baby would be all right. That's why I say I was a kid raising a child. It goes both ways. The mother could be there and she could be where I'm at, or she could be doing what she needs to be doing and I could be somewhere else. Or I could be doing what I need to do and the mother could have a child.
Can I throw a question out here real quick to you, John? Once you become a parent, do you lose your social life? Does your social life take a back seat to parenting?
I would say yes. I'm not even a parent, but I would say yes.
From my perspective, yes. From my perspective.
Yeah, because we put it on if the child was sick, but what about if the child ain't sick? What if they're in perfect health and it's a Friday night and you want to go out? What decision do you make?
I'm not going out. You know, but that's me. I made that decision a long time ago. My happiness, and I'm not saying that this is the right way to think or feel, but for me, my happiness no longer matters. You know what I mean? For me, it was my child's happiness.
Yeah.
My child's best interest comes first.
Is it that your happiness no longer matters, or what made you happy changed?
Mm-hmm. Probably both, but probably the latter. But how I saw it was, or how I justified it for myself with that, it didn't matter.
Yeah, I got you.
And I totally agree with both, because I'm going to say, like, in my earlier years when I didn't get the understanding of what a parent took, for me, it was more important for me to be happy. Once I got it, what parenting was at 30, what used to make me happy wasn't socially no more. You know what I mean? I mean, the social part of it wasn't what made me happy. What made me happy was being with my kids. But I didn't understand that then because I was still holding on to it. I didn't need it. I just felt like that's what made me happy. Didn't realize you got happiness right here.
Let me throw this at y'all.
Yeah.
In that situation you just talked about, are we talking about in a single parent home, or are we talking about in a home where both parents are there? Because I think in asking what Corey said, if your child is perfectly in good health, you know, and you in a single parent home, 9 times out of 10. I wouldn't say 9 times out of 10 because there are certain circumstances in which situations are different. But my point is saying that sometimes fathers don't know the status of their child for the night. They don't know if little Johnny went to bed with a hot meal. They don't know if little Johnny has got that runny nose or if little Johnny need to be taken to the hospital that night. And not saying that I have to call every night to be like let me talk to little Johnny before he go to bed type situation, but it's different in a single-parent household than it is in a situation where both parents are living in the home. Because living in the home, if little Johnny's in perfect health, you know what, tonight I can go out, but tomorrow she can go out. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a different way of saying that social life question is different depending on the situation, I would think.
Well, my answer to that would be simply this. Whether it be a single-parent home or both parents living in the home, if the two parents agree that they are cool with that arrangement, cool am I to say is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I will find myself in a situation where I would agree with that arrangement. Simply because I feel as though both of us have a responsibility here. Every day, every night. Now, if you want to go out? Fine. Where we go? We all finna go out.
Great point.
That's a good point.
You great can point. Still go out.
Right.
Just know we going with you.
Yeah. Great point.
Does that satisfy your need to get out of the house? Or, okay, so now you need to be separate? Now I'm questioning your priority.
So do you want to go out, or do you just want to go out alone? There's a difference.
Yeah, now I need to know that.
Now, as a married man, I'm going to have to be honest. me, myself, there are times I do not want to take me. I just want to go out and hang out with y'all.
And what do we end up doing in those times?
What we doing right now.
Exactly. So you ain't never going nowhere. You still here. You may have separated yourself, but we still here.
So, but my point, I guess I was saying that at the end of the day, if I can see my outlet, I'm open to giving out.
And I said,
right.
If they agree on that arrangement, or they agree in that, who am I to say that?
Exactly, because I personally won't want to go to the club, but if my wife said she wants to go to the club, and I'm okay with the people she decided to go to the club with, then I have no problem with that.
No, that. If the two of you can agree.
Right.
When it becomes a struggle, then
it's
a problem.
Okay, so in that struggle, who do you think is the one that needs to give in? Would you say that okay, you and the missus decide?
No. We're not going. I'm not doing that. I'll do it.
Ooh.
I'm the one to do it.
Ooh.
What we gonna do is we gonna sit down and we gonna talk this out. Now, if you make more sense than me, you win. But you gotta give me the same. If I can make more sense than you, then you gotta give it up. That's the only way we're going to have this conversation and come to an agreement.
I don't ever see myself being in that situation because I'm just not one of those type of men that...
No, he asked, but he asked what happened.
Yeah, but he answered it, though. He asked.
No, I'm saying...
No,
I get that
for it. Yeah.
Okay, but if I was
right.
in the situation...
If you were in the situation.
If I felt that strongly about it, I felt that strongly about it.
Yeah, so far.
It's just a lot of factors. What's your why? Why you want to go out? Why you feel the need to do this? Why? If you can convince me, then maybe I'll give in. But if the explanation is not good enough for me, being the head of my household, I would hope to think that I win in that mark. I would hope to think that I win. I can't say that's a guaranteed win, but I would like to think that, you know, I would be able to express my feelings and she would be receptive to those and could understand and be, okay, if you feel that strongly about it, I would do it.
Respect your position.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But everybody ain't lucky enough to be in that position.
And that's the dynamic of it. That's what makes it difficult in court of fame, because at the end of the day, like, you can fight for that position and get yourself more in trouble.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then it comes to counter cost. What do you see getting out of it if it, on the return, if you sit back and let it play itself out?
Yeah, it depends on the person you're dealing with.
Yeah, it depends on who you, and it totally comes down to just the situation, really, honestly. But the truth of the matter is, if you go into it thinking you just can bogart on it, it ain't going to never work.
It's not going to work the way you think.
Hey,
it's going to work.
Promise. Look, I ain't eating nothing that I don't want to eat. That was my attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it. I ain't eating it. And if you don't like it, deal with it. I ain't eating it. I don't want it. Sometimes you have to eat things.
Yeah, you have to.
Sometimes you just... It's better for me to eat this and allow it, like you say, to play out. And let you come to your own understanding as to why I stood the way I stood the first time, than me try to force on you why I stand there. It's already a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So now me trying to force my resolution to you, I'm only making it worse. So I'm going to have to eat this one.
Count your costs.
Count your costs. You just said you have to.
But understand, you keep forcing somebody to eat, sooner or later they're going to bust.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but that's true. Good question, Mark. You got anything else for us? About that time for us to wrap this thing up.
I'm good money, man. I just missed the beginning of the show. I wanted to rep that team respect, so we wanted to pull that conversation back out.
Yeah, Mark.
Do that, Mark. Mark, man, where you been, man? We missed you, man.
What's going on,
I'm
man?
Listening to go in on
the ball. We thought you had. Yeah, let us go.
Oh, no. I never let you go. You know what I'm saying? I'm
no, you've been asking us questions. You've been forced to ask them where you been.
Sometimes.
Okay,
like,
we're leaving.
We're leaving.
Mark, as always, man, we appreciate you calling in, man. Enjoyed it. As usual, it was a pleasure. Deuces.
So you win.
With that being said, lock your doors and open your heart to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison. T-O-A-B out.
There's a fine line, baby, I'm on it.
There's a fine line between love and hate. See, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate.
shake it low, low, 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 shake it low, low.
Look in your face, you're a superstar. Nigga, think around, cause of who you are. You get a lot of love for the what you got. Say they happy for you, but they really lie. Tell a lot of messages and you roll up in. Fall up in the spots, now you're losing friends. All you wanna do is give the world your heart. Record label try to make it compromise your heart. You make $1 million, make $1 million more. First class fraud, treat you like a nigga pole. You wanna say wait, but you're scared to ask.
Must admit, they planted a lot of things in the brains and the veins of my strain. Makes it hard to refrain from the host of cocaine, from them whores, from the flame, from a post in the game. Makes it hard to maintain focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials, the seeds that sowed get devoured by the same locusts. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall and the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now I voice their cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten. Plains dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you falsely dread it. Melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gonna get it started? We be the lion-hearted, without infanticide. It's like that red sprite, you can't imagine. Unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes. Getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel, packing steel. Picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers. You a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tail between your legs. Throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen. Just by rapping, Libertad, 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 Libertad.